We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity Segment. I'm excited to welcome program Caregiver Dave Nassani. Dave, how are you? What's going on, man?
In the middle of a book promo and preview and just doing all sorts of stuff. I got a lot of plates I'm spinning like on the Ed Sullivan Show.
You got to do that. Hey, that's what life makes life interesting and easy. Not easy, but fun. Yeah, exactly. So our guests today are international best-selling authors, and they are writing this. They've wrote the second of the series, Sons of Valor 2, Violence of Action. So I'm excited to welcome to the show, Brian and Jeff, best-selling authors, Brian Andrews and Jeffrey Wilson. Guys, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be here, man. Thanks for having us.
And yeah, that's our first time on the show, so we're excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for your service. So let's get together and see how you guys got together to write the first book. Jeffrey, how did that happen?
Oh, yeah. So that's a strange story. So Brian and I were friends before we started co-authoring. We actually met through an organization called International Thriller Writers, which most people are familiar with now. They have a meeting every year in New York. We just got back from it, in fact, called Thriller Fest. And we were writing independently at the time. And I'll tell you, the weird thing about me is I'm not that social. So I was like sitting in a hotel room my very first time, and I'm looking through the book. I'm trying to find other military guys so that I have something I can talk to. And we go down to this cocktail reception, and there's Brian. Now, Brian was a submarine officer. So you understand he's sitting by himself and crying and like feeling all right. And I felt
tears in my beer.
Right, exactly. I felt sorry for him. So I went over and but I was looking to connect with other military folks, and we became friends instantly. We're both family guys, all about family. Our kids are the same age. Like, it was just a natural connection. Cool. And then we didn't really start writing until together, at least until a couple years after that.
Brian, when you first thought about writing with Jeffrey, were you a little nervous about that, having to write?
I mean, I was concerned that he had stalked me at that cocktail party a little bit. So, I mean, that was kind of a red flag, but he's really talented. So I said, okay, I'll put that red flag aside because he's such a good writer. And I need that, you know, to help, you know, because if he can write all the books and I can just be on these interviews, that's very, very good for my career. So that's kind of how we ended up where we are.
So are you both writers now?
No, we both write. It is a shared collaboration thing. And you know, what's really, really cool about it is when we met, I had published two books and Jeff had published three. And we were both sort of in that lull trying to figure out what is our next project going to be. And so my pitch to Jeff was, hey, I did submarines. You work with Naval Special Warfare. Why don't we do like a subs and SEALs sort of book? And initially, I think, you know, his reservation or maybe his concern was, hey, how do you collaborate on a novel? This is something like, you know, you just do by yourself. Writers write by themselves. But I think when we just started working on it, we realized, hey, you know, all the values that we had from our military service, which is collaboration, teamwork, mission before self, you know, these things are very real. It's the reason that these high functioning teams can get out there and do what seem like impossible missions. We just applied that to our writing partnership.
Yeah. So what gifts do you both bring to the table as far as writing goes? Because, you know, I'm a writer, and some people are really good at just putting it down, you know, like a Mozart first time. Others, man, they got to edit, re-edit. So what's going on between?
Yeah, we're those blue collar writers, you know, that we just got to pound it out and do the work. And there's no question that, you know, each of us bring different strengths and weaknesses to the table. But what's interesting at this point is, you know, the things that were my weaknesses I've gotten better at. And I think Brian also, by working together, we've learned from each other. And so now it's this weird synergy. We kind of joke that we like have this one brain. Like, there are times I'm not making this up. I'll call up Brian. I'll say, dude, I have the perfect solution to the climax. Here's what he goes. Wait, what about this? And it's exactly what I was going to say. So at this point, I think, you know, we probably balance each other perfectly. And we have this weird method where we write simultaneously, which is another whole thing. But so I don't know. I don't think that those strengths and weaknesses play out as much anymore. I think now it's just sort of like an Andrews and Wilson novel. It starts that way and ends that way. Yeah. Am I making that up, Brian? You agree with
that? No. I mean, it sounds like something that we just say on an interview, but it's how we get so many books done. If that method didn't work, we wouldn't be on this show. We wouldn't have time. We'd just be writing, you know, nonstop. So it really is sort of that division of labor. I think in our case, you know, the old saying, you know, one and one is greater than two. That's very much true for us. We have a synergy. So there's this force multiplier effect when we get working together, because I think what happens to a lot of writers, and we sort of feel sorry for everybody who has to write by themselves now. Sorry, Dave, but we feel sorry for you because, you know, when you get writer's block, who do you call? You know, we're in the project together, so we're both up to speed and we never get stuck, you know? So the minute that one of us is like starting to slow down or lose momentum or get confused about where we should go, the other guy's just a phone call away.
And that's
important. I'm not good. Really alone. I've got a very good friend who's a New York Times bestselling author, and she helps a lot.
Good. Everybody, it's nice to have a buddy to call, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you think about it, Jeffrey, did you think the first book would be the success it was? Especially you guys both wrote books other before that.
Yeah, well, as you heard from Brian, he's soft playing it a little bit. I was a little reticent. I actually was completely against it. Just and again, not because of any, you know, him or me. It's just like I didn't see how it would work. So I think I went into it with low expectations for what we could produce. But I will tell you that within a week, right, Brian, like a week or 2 weeks, it was so exciting and fun. It was the most fun project we'd ever the first time. And Dave, you get this, like, you sit it down, you walk away, you come back, you read it, and you're like, damn, that's really good. Who wrote that, right? And I think we knew when we did our first pass at the end, I think we knew we had something pretty special.
Yeah.
Just because of the military, the gritty realism that we were able to put into it. You know, we pride ourselves that we write books that honor the people we served with. And what we mean by that is if they read it, they wouldn't be pissed, right? They would read it and go, yeah, that's exactly right. And we focus on character. We focus on the relationships and the toll that this type of service has on people. And so I think that's something we were able to do together even better than individually. So I think the first pass, we knew we had something pretty special.
And I assume it's all honest. There's no fluff in there.
No, writers who put in fluff. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of are excited about the industry in general because, you know, the guys that were the titans or sort of the iconic authors, you know, your Tom Clancy, your Robert Ludlum, these guys that trailblazed our particular industry, they were fans and advocates of the military, but they were not serving. You know, Tom Clancy was given access to ride on submarines and you know, got to meet with the CO and the COB and the sonar supervisors and the Oster decks. And he got, you know, unfettered access, but I lived that, you know, like I actually did those things. And so now, you know, like Jeff's a veteran, Don Bentley, who's writing the Clancy series, Josh Hood, these guys are great authors, but they're also veterans. So we're bringing sort of a different level of authenticity, I think, to the genre than it's ever had before.
Now, Jeffrey, tell us a little about Sons of Valor too, without giving it away.
Yeah, Sons of Valor 2 is really fun for us because it's actually our first try at a spinoff, a shared universe kind of series. You know, the Tier 1 series, to understand Sons of Valor, you got to understand that series. The premise of that series is that the entire JSOC SEAL team gets wiped out during an ambush because of leaked and faulty intelligence. And the only survivor, our John Dempsey, is given a new identity, buried with his teammates, and joins a task force to hunt down the people responsible. So that's a real fun, and we've gone 6 books now. The 7th comes out next year. But all along, we were like, you know, if that happened in real life, eventually they'd stand that SEAL team up. And we had this minor character, Keith Redmond, Chunk is his nickname. And he appeared in a couple of the early books and actually a little bit in 4 of the 6 books. As just a SEAL team leader who augmented our task force. And we got so much fan mail about Chunk. Everybody loved Chunk. Like he'd be in 2 chapters and we get more mail than on some of our main characters. And so when we thought about spinning off this series, we were like, we got to give it to Chunk. Like Keith Redmond and his boys, that's got to be the new Tier 1 SEAL team. And we're with Blackstone now, who we absolutely love. And they gave us just, you know, full support. They're like, we trust you, do it how you want. And so we spun this series off. It's all JSOC Tier 1 level SEAL team action. But what's fun about the series to me is that it's nouveau. And what I mean by that is, you know, for 20 years, we had a very asymmetric battle in real life. You know, we're fighting goat herders in the, that are in the Taliban running around with AK-47s, but that's not true anymore. The new generation of terrorists are much more sophisticated. They're educated, they're multilingual, they're tech savvy. And so some of that asymmetry is disappearing in our world now. And on the good guy side, we have a new generation of SEALs and other operators who some weren't even born at 9/11, which is impossible almost for me to fathom as an old guy. And so what does that look like? What does this new generation of counterterrorism look like? And we were able to pull those threads through. It was so much fun. In case you can't tell, it was so much fun.
How much is fiction and how much is nonfiction in your stories?
I mean, I think what we try to do is war game out, you know, what's going to, or what could happen. You know, that's what's exciting for authors is that what if question, you know, what if this happened? And like Jeff mentioned, you know, with the asymmetric battlefield, one of the important advantages that we had was drone technology. You know, the Predator drone ushered in a whole new era of battlefield tactics. And now, you know, 20 years later, you have Chinese building these Predator clone drones that can be sold for a tenth of the cost. So suddenly something that was inaccessible to maybe a terrorist organization, you know, because of defense industrial controls and price tag, now it's possible that these guys can get drones. And we're seeing in Ukraine the impact of those, the Turkish drone. It's a low-cost drone. It's not as capable as the Predator, but look at what damage it's been able to inflict on the Russian forces. So once, you know, a terrorist organization starts getting their hands on the same technology that we've used to dominate the battle space, that changes the whole tactical picture. And that's kind of what we played around with in this series.
I will say, just to add, in terms of, you know, fiction versus nonfiction, it's always important for us to get this out. Because we served, because I actually served in the JSOC community, we take OPSEC very, very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. So while I think that we realistically portray the people, their relationships, their heart, their soul, their families, we fictionalize anything that could have any impact on operational security whatsoever, because we still have brothers and sisters out there on the pointy tip of the spear. And so a lot of the tactics, a lot of the, even the weapon systems are highly fictionalized. We don't write about anything that isn't open source material. But the geopolitics, like Brian said, that's the fun stuff, right? That's the writer stuff. What if? Every story starts with that. And so we've been able to keep ourselves informed. We both read a lot about defense issues, geopolitical issues, and that sort of informs our writer what if thing.
All right. So Dave has a question that he asks every guest. Go ahead, Dave, with your question.
Well, I'm a caregiver. You know, 25 years ago, my wife had this headache that just wouldn't go away. We were going to see a doctor, but, you know, who wants to go to a doctor? But it turned into a stroke, lost her speech, became paralyzed one side. After a couple of years of grieving, we reinvented ourselves. She still can't talk or walk, but she can communicate non-verbally through Pictionary charades. And she has a power chair. We now travel around the world, speak and on television. We're just helping caregivers stay alive because 30% of them die from, you know, the stress. And many more become hospitalized, need a caregiver of their own. Have you thought about caring, or have you already done this for maybe one of your relatives? Is it on your mind? All caregivers used to be normal people like you and I, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're a caregiver.
Yeah, so that's something that's a little more personal for me now, because I've got someone in my family that is moving in that direction, which is very, very stressful on our family. And you have to, you know, what a shame we wait so long to ask the question, hey, what will we do? You know, talk to your siblings, who's going to be responsible and that sort of thing. Nobody seems very good these days at formulating a plan. In our case, we've got something that's a little bit more slow and insidious. And so we have the opportunity to do that. But it's definitely something that's on the mind in my family a lot these days. And God, you know, God bless you. That's amazing. Your story is so amazing. That's the end of the story, that you guys are traveling, you're doing things that you don't, you didn't let it define you. You didn't let it define her. You were able to adapt and overcome. That's the military mindset, right? So that's very inspirational.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I would say, you know, I think about this too. My wife and I, our parents are getting older and they're at that age where you have to start thinking about, you know, what, you know, maybe they can't support themselves and live on their own anymore. We built this house fortunately, we were able to do it. You know, we built a house that has an extra bedroom on the first floor. We built it ADA compliant. It's zero entry on the ground floor. So if we needed to bring a wheelchair in and out, we could, because we just didn't like the idea of sending a parent off to a facility to be alone and have somebody else take care of it. I mean, like you said, I think when you look back at the history of what it is to be humans and be good humans, it's that we take care of our own, and our family unit is the core of that. So, you know, we've made plans for that, and it hasn't happened yet, but I think, like Jeff said, you know, I'm at the age where we're seeing that could happen in the next few years.
Awesome.
All right. Best place we can find information on both of you guys and purchase a book. Where can we go?
Yeah, our books are available everywhere. The best way to follow what's coming, and it's hard to do because we do 3 or 4 books a year right now for the next few years. We've got several series simultaneously in progress, and now we've got some TV deals in pre-production and a film deal. So the easiest thing to do is go to andrews-wilson.com, www.andrews-wilson.com. Everything about all our projects, sign up for the newsletter. That way, when a new thing pops up, we can keep you in the loop. I will say, a lot of people spam you with their newsletters. We don't do that. If it's coming to you in your inbox, it's because there's something to say. We don't sell advertising space or anything like that. So that's the easiest way to get us.
So the TV deals, you can't say anything yet, but they're coming.
I know, it's so painful. It's killing us. You have no idea. Yes, we actually have signed several deals. We actually have 4 deals already signed, but we don't want to get ahead of the producers, and we want them to be allowed to make those announcements. But they'll be coming out very soon.
It's been a very cool couple of weeks.
Yes, it has.
Well, congrats. That's
fantastic. When you become caregivers, make sure you go to caregiverdave.com, help you survive instead of, thrive instead of survive caregiving. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. And let us know how we can support that and promote it, please.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right. That was the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, guys. Take care.